last few weeks, we've been doing the fruit of the Spirit. So what did we do last week, girls? Yes, patience, kindness, and goodness. I had to confess, I wasn't as patient as I could have been this morning. The Bible says, you know, we need to confess to one another. It was my usual traffic one. I was actually doing the right thing. The car behind me started blaring his horn at me, and I wasn't particularly patient. But I didn't say anything bad. I was very good. See, I exercised self-control, which is what we're talking about this week. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 22, 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And we've been talking about how this fruit of the Spirit, it grows within us as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And one of the things that we've been talking about is that we need to outwork these. We need to practice these. We need to do stuff with these things to make sure that they grow and that it comes out of our relationship with God as we nurture. And Pam was talking today in her encouraging word about planting and nurturing and growing the garden of our heart. And it's as we do that, as we meet with God, it's as we spend time in prayer with Him, as we deal with the issues in our life, that we make room for the Holy Spirit to grow and develop and produce this fruit in our life. So as we move on with our lives, we need to just be putting things into our lives that will keep the fruit growing and will not stop the fruit from growing. And so we've looked at love and joy and peace, and we've looked at patience, kindness, and goodness. So today we're going to look at faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We might say, you know, Pam says, who's been challenged? I am always challenged by my own messages. Because as I'm doing these, God's speaking to me through what He's saying here as much as to anyone else. But faithfulness, what is faithfulness? And for me, when I think about faithfulness, I think about commitment and loyalty and all of those things that come together. And I think that faithfulness is the ability to be faithful and to remain faithful and true to a person, to a task, or to a project. So faithfulness is about just stickability, I suppose, just being able to stick with what you've been called to do. Biblical faithfulness comes to... words mixed up. Biblical faithfulness comes from a conviction of the Spirit within that we're where God wants us to be, and we're doing what He's called us to do. When we know that, even if we're not sure of what the future is going to be, when we know that, then we know that we've got something that we can stick with and stick by. Paul had a friend called Demas, and Ron spoke about him a little bit not so long ago. Demas was a friend of Paul's. He was a co-worker with Paul's. And as you read through the Word of God, at the end of, if you take the Scriptures in a chronological order, rather than the order they're in the book, in the New Testament, then you actually get a little bit of a picture of Demas. And I remember many years ago, I was actually a Uniting Church minister pointing it out, how Demas went from being a faithful co-worker to a worker to at the end of, thanks Jody, to at the end of Timothy, where he says that Demas had got caught up in the things of the world and had left. See, he wasn't faithful to the end. And faithfulness is something that the fruit of the Spirit builds in our lives, that we're to be faithful to the end. See, Demas wasn't. He was not faithful to the task, and he was not faithful in his relationship with Paul. He got caught up in the stuff of life that happens. It actually says in 2 Timothy that Demas loved this world. And what Paul was saying is that the things of this world became more important to him than the things of God. And so faithfulness, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, is about being faithful to God. It's about being faithful to people around us. It's about being faithful to the task that God has called us to be faithful to. You know, in the parable of the sower, and you might think, I haven't got the scripture reference, but you can look it up. In the parable of the sower, there's all sorts of different people. I loved the little things the kids had on Sunday with the rocks and the... Oh, that was very clever. But that's good. That's true. There are people who are described in there as the seed grows, it goes into ground, and then the thorns and the weeds grow up around it. And Jesus explains that. It's the things of this world that choke out what's going on in our lives. And then there was also those that fell on sort of like very shallow soil. And Pam was talking this morning about digging the soil deep. Because sometimes when the Word of God just falls on shallow soil, it'll grow for a while, but when the pressures come, we can allow the Word of God to disappear from our lives. And so what Jesus was saying is, in your heart, make some good soil in your heart so that when the Word of God goes in, it can grow and develop like it's meant to, and you can be faithful, not allow the things of this world to choke it out. I'm not saying that a bad day isn't going to happen, because it will, but faithfulness is about not letting the bad day affect what you do and how you do it. And so when we think about faithfulness, think about our lives. Think about the areas of our lives, the relationships that we have, our work that we're called to do, whether it be stuff that we do here for church, whether it be in the workplace, whatever it is that you're called to do, what do you need to be faithful to? Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many will say that they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is really faithful? That is challenging, isn't it? That is really challenging, because it says we all think of ourselves as loyal friends, but let's challenge ourselves. Are we the one that is really faithful? Are we the faithful friend? Are we the one that says we're going to be there, but then when the hard times come, we're not? Are we the one that says, yeah, I'll do that, but then we forget about it? Let's be faithful and loyal friends. Let's make an effort. Okay, we all stuff up at times. I get that. But let's really work at making an effort to be faithful, be doing what we say we're going to do, to being the friend who is loyal, being the one that is going to be the stickability. Hebrews 3:14 says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly when you first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Oh, think about all that belongs to Christ. How amazing is everything that belongs to Christ? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He owns everything. And everything that belongs to him is ours if we remain faithful in our walk with him and in our relationship with God. So we need to ask ourselves, what or who do I need to be faithful to? What or who do I need to be faithful to? I've put in a what, because sometimes it's a task that we're just struggling with, that we need to be faithful in, or it's a purpose that God has called us to that we're struggling in at the moment. What or who do we need to be faithful to? The second question that I have about faithfulness is, how will I ensure that I stay faithful to the purpose God has for me? How will I ensure I stay faithful to the purpose that God has for me? God has a purpose for each of us, and we are called to be faithful to that purpose. So what practical things do I personally need to do to stay faithful to that? That will be different for each of us. For some of us, it will be getting into the Word more. For some of us, it'll be spending more time with God. For some of us, it'll be reaching out to people that we know we're meant to reach out to. It'll be different for every single one of us. Our purpose is different. We have a purpose of doing what God has called us to do and reaching out to the world. But our part in that is different. Each one of us takes a different part in that. But how are we going to be faithful to it? How am I going to be faithful? How am I going to ensure that I stay faithful to to God's purpose for me? Part of that is having you all around me. When it comes to faithfulness, having people to encourage us and cheer us along the way is really, really good. And one of the things that we can do for each other is to encourage one another to stay faithful to the task. Because it gets hard sometimes. It gets really, really hard. And sometimes we just have those moments where you go, God, is this really worth it? We need one another to help us and to encourage us, because it's always worth it. It's always worth it. So let's stay faithful. Let's develop faithfulness as part of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The second one is gentleness. And my first question when I wrote this was, what or how do we describe gentleness? Gentleness is really not easy to describe. I'm going to chuck it out there. How would you girls describe gentleness? Yeah, there's a couple of hands up the back. Andrea, go for it. Yeah, that's great. Treating someone as an individual. And Kathy? Yep. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Any other suggestions? Yeah, having compassion and understanding. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they're all words that we could use to describe gentleness, aren't they? It was something I was thinking about because one of the things we have to remember with this is it's about a gentleness of heart and attitude. It's what's going on inside. And we do. We talk about being gentle with people. Kathy just said it's about how we approach people. What does it mean to be gentle with people? Because sometimes we need to be tough with people. How can we be tough with people and still gentle at the same time? Sometimes we have to make a stand and say, this is where the boundary is, guys. This is it. I'm not going to. But we still have to have an attitude of gentleness. So how is that going to work in our spirit? Well, it comes from having the spirit within and developing a gentleness of spirit so that when we are approaching people, even if we have to correct or even if we have to push along a little bit, whatever it is that we have to do, even if we have to be tough, it comes from a gentleness in our own spirit that is wanting to be gentle and caring for people. Jesus is our example when it comes to gentleness. In Matthew 11:29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I love that verse. Connect with Jesus. Yoke yourself with Jesus because he is gentle and humble. And as you yoke yourself with his gentleness and his humbleness, you will become gentle and humble in your own spirit as well. One of the things that I find interesting about Jesus is he had a gentle and a quiet spirit, yet he wasn't a wuss. He was able, when he needed to stand up for what he knew was right. He was able, when he needed to face the cross with absolute determination. He was able, when he needed to clear the temple and clear out what was going wrong in the temple. And so it's really, really something that we have to get a hold of, I think, that gentleness is not a wussy kind of mildness. Gentleness actually is a position of strength. Gentleness is a position of strength. And when we build gentleness into our hearts, we actually approach life from a position of strength. And that's what enables us to take the hard stand when we need to. But it comes from a gentleness within. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Colossians 3:12, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. All of these things go together. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So gentleness has to be exercised. It needs to be seen by people. Peter, when he was talking to the women, in 1 Peter 3:4, he says, he's actually, the context of this is not overdressing, not looking, we would say today, not looking too sexy, I suppose is what he was trying to say. But what he was actually saying is, it's okay to look great, but that's not where you should be looking to for beauty, because the beauty actually is within. And the beauty that is within is the beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit. So Peter is not saying don't wear makeup. There are some denominations that will say you can't wear any makeup. Peter's not saying that. Peter's not saying don't wear makeup. He's not saying don't wear nice clothes. What he is saying is don't let that be all it is. But make sure that the beauty that you have is something that comes from within. I love to get dressed up. I love to go out and look really nice. But that's pointless if what's going on within me isn't right. And so it's the gentleness that comes from within. And he says, rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So I hate to tell you girls, but we get older and things start to sag a bit. Yep. Need a little bit more support here and there. Yeah. Our faces change. Our body shape changes. Stuff happens to us. We get old because that's the human condition. But what God is saying is that it's the gentle and quiet spirit inside that is beautiful. Have you ever noticed that there might be some people, my grandparents were like that. They might have had really saggy skin, but I'll tell you what, they had nice gentle spirits and they were beautiful. And that's what, it's not about what's on the outside, it's about the beauty that's within. And that gentleness actually comes from within. See, the Bible also talks about having a quiet and gentle spirit that wins people over to God. And sometimes, and I suspect it happens today, and it happened in the Old Testament, there were wives who were saved and husbands who weren't. And the Bible says, by your gentle and quiet spirit, win your husband over. Sometimes that's not an easy job. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16 says, if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Who's ever been on the end of someone trying to shove the Bible down your throat? Yeah, we've all had it, haven't we? Yeah. It says, always be ready. Know what your hope is. Know that your hope is Jesus Christ. Know that you have a faith and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Be ready to be able to tell other people about that. But do it in a gentle, quiet, caring way. That's what gentleness is really all about. So when we speak to others about Christ, have a ready answer, but do it with gentleness. So some questions. What do I need to do to develop a gentle and quiet spirit? This does not mean that you can't have fun, girls. This does not mean that you can't laugh and have a joke. But what's your spirit like? Is it gentle and quiet and trusting in God? Or is it anxious? Is it anxious and nervous? What's your spirit like? So what do I need to do to develop a gentle and quiet spirit? Another couple of questions that I have is, when do I need to act gently? My mum, when I was little, said that I used to approach things like a bull in a china shop. Now, if you know what that means, if you think about what a bull would do in a china shop, it's not exactly gentle and quiet. And my mum said that's how I approach life. Like, she used to say, you're like a bull in a china shop. I don't think it was a positive thing. But, you know, you're like a bull in a china shop. She used to hate taking me into the china sections, obviously. I was just hopeless. Oh, look at this. But it's not about not being able to be bright and have fun. It's about what's going on inside. It's what's going on inside. But when do I need to act gently? We need to act gently when we're in the China section of David Jones. Have you ever noticed the price on some of those things? Gosh, they're beautiful. Lovely little teapot that I found the other day. $450. I went, need you ask, Helen? No, I didn't. No, it was beautiful. But we understand in those kind of situations, we have to be gentle. But who do you need to be gentle with? What kind of people do you need to be gentle with? What situations do I find myself in where I need to exercise gentleness? Let's think about some of those things as we grow and develop. Now, I know most of you, and I'm pretty sure that most of you are pretty good at being gentle. I've seen how you behave toward people, and I think you girls are doing pretty well in this. But let's continue to do well in this. Now, I'm not sure how we're all going with the third one, though, that we're going to talk about today. Any shopaholics amongst us? Yeah. The third one is self-control. Self-control. This is such a tough one for so many of us. Who here has a fairly sanguine, easygoing kind of personality? Yeah. When you're fairly easygoing, self-control can sometimes be a more tricky one. Self-control, I think, is like another side of patience. Self-control is like another side of patience. When we exercise self-control, we're also learning to be patient. For me, I thought about it. What is it? Self-control is the ability to respond in a situation and not react. Okay, what happens? Now, I'm a football fanatic. What happens in the football when there's a fight? One person swings an arm. What happens? Someone else comes in and thumps. And who gets pulled up by the ref? The one who thumped, not the one who swung the arm in the first place. See, a reaction. If we could learn to respond and not react, then we might do better. Who's ever just reacted out of a situation and it's escalated really badly? Yeah, I think we all have. Let's learn to respond. Listen to think about it. See, it's the self-control is, and this is the Jill Whalen dictionary version, okay? It's the ability to make a decision about our actions before we carry them out. The ability to make a decision about our actions before we carry them out. Small children react because they're small children and they haven't learnt self-control. See, they have to learn it, and we often spend time with children teaching them, we don't bite here, we don't hit other people. We don't. If you've been around small children long enough, you'll know that these kinds of things are normal for kids because they're little and they have to learn how to have self-control. And we do too. We need to learn how to have self-control. And normally, as we physically mature, we get better at self-control. It's interesting, you see, because as we grow, we have the ability to inhibit the impulses that come. Kids with ADHD struggle with that ability, and it's why they struggle so much with the respond-react situation. You see, there's actually a part in our brain, so I'm talking just about physical ability to stop an impulse, okay, here. The front part of our brain, which is where what they call the inhibitor thing is the thing that says to us when the ball goes on the road, we all stop and go, better check that there's no traffic and go and get the ball. That's developed in our brain. So we just don't go straight across the road like a small child does. If that part of your brain isn't functioning or hasn't matured properly, then you'll be more likely to just duck across the road. And so we have to stop and think. And one of the things that they say with children is stop, think, act. Or stop, think, do. Stop, think, act. My younger sister's an occupational therapist, and she said that's the way with children who have these kind of inhibitor difficulties. That's how you teach them. Stop, think, act. I reckon some of us could do that in our own lives when it comes to some things in life. And we can develop self-control by the power of the Spirit within us. But let's practice it as well. Let's practice stop, think, act. Proverbs 16:2 says, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. In other words, it's better to have self-control in our lives than to be a hero and a warrior that takes a city. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. What happens to a city when its walls are broken? A city when its walls are broken is open to attack. A city whose walls are broken will be trampled on. In fact, that's how they would breach the walls of a city, and the city would be taken. What this proverb is saying is we need to learn to exercise self-control so that our lives are not like that city that has the breach in the wall that can be taken and that people can plunder. We have to have self-control. I find this, I'm a more impulsive personality, so I understand how difficult this can be. But when we lack self-control, we open ourselves up to enemy attack. And sometimes when we lack self-control, we blame the enemy, but actually it's just us. But we do open ourselves up to enemy attack. But when we exercise something and we use it and we strengthen it, we're able to do it better. So if we begin to exercise self-control, the more we do it, the better we get at it. It's like everything. If I exercise, if I picked up a couple of those little dumbbell things and went exercise, 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 the first day I'd probably have a sore arm. If I kept doing that, my arm would get better and stronger and I would have more defined muscles than what I have now. Not that I want more defined muscles, I might say. But when we exercise things, they strengthen. When we use things, we get better at it. One of the things that we should be doing is exercising self-control wherever possible. I have a couple of shops that I find hard to walk out of without buying something. One of them is a bookshop, and the other one is a bear shop. Exercise self-control. I'm doing better at the bear shop than the bookshops at the moment. One of the things that Timothy actually says when he's talking, it's actually Paul, sorry, talking to Timothy, when he's talking about who he should appoint in leadership, and he says the overseer, someone who's overseeing things, is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable and hospitable. And then it says that the women are to be like that as well. Now, you might say, I'm not a leader, but we all influence someone. We all influence someone. We need to exercise self-control. When has a lack of self-control led you into a difficult situation? Think about for a while. When has a lack of self-control left you in a difficult situation? What would have been different if we'd exercised self-control? How often do we find ourselves in financial difficulty because we haven't exercised self-control? How often do we find ourselves in relationship difficulty because we haven't exercised self-control? We need to learn to exercise self-control. Samson in Judges 14 to 16, he was one of the judges of Israel. He was a really weird kind of character. He had a lot of difficulty exercising self-control. A lot of difficulty. He was a womanizer, and it completely sidetracked him from living how he was meant to live, and it completely sidetracked him from God's purpose until right at the end of his life. Complete lack of self-control. He allowed his own desires to get in the way of God's purpose, and it just, his life was a shambles from pretty much from beginning to end because he just could not exercise self-control. And right at the end, even in the end, he basically died with the Philistines because he just, God had a much, I mean, God's purpose was still fulfilled, but I reckon Samson's life had a much bigger purpose than what he actually carried out. And yet, it was just a shambles. It was awful. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline and self-control are pretty much the same thing. Oh gosh, how do I manage to do that? The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. That comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. See, we can learn to say no to that other stuff and exercise self-control. So we need to allow the Spirit of God to work within us. God sent his Son Jesus for us so that through living for him and by his Spirit, we can have self-control in our lives. And if you struggle in this area of your life, or if you struggle in any of the areas that we've been talking about, do not get disheartened, girls. We all have these struggles. None of us is going to be perfect in all of these ever until we come to know God, because it's a growing process. And if you struggle, just be honest about your struggle. Talk to someone about it and ask God to help you get better in that area. Now, a little word of warning. If you ask God to help you get better with self-control, he will give you lots of opportunity to exercise it. Have you ever noticed that? Dear Lord, help me to have more patience. And then you go, oh gosh, these people are so darn frustrating. Oh, hang on a minute. Maybe God's teaching me to have patience. It's a funny kind of thing, isn't it? Don't get worried when you find yourself in a situation like that where you're struggling. If you've asked God to help you in one of these areas, he's going to allow you. You can only grow in these areas by putting it into practice. And so ask God to help you to do it. Take hold of every opportunity to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Take hold of it. If you stuff up, give that to God and say, stuffed up that time, God help me do it better next time. Let's not make it hard for ourselves. Let's not make life such a struggle that we become anxious about whether or not we're getting it right. Let's just make every effort to get it right. If we stuff up, let's say, sorry, God, I've stuffed up. Please forgive me, and let's move on from there. Helen said earlier, sometimes we just have to forgive ourselves. We are our own worst enemy when it comes to that. We've got to learn to forgive ourselves. God has forgiven us. We need to learn to forgive ourselves. So faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's determine to put all of these into practice, along with love and joy and peace, and along with patience, kindness, and goodness. Because you know what? There's nothing in this world that can stop us from exercising any of these things, because they are stuff that comes from within us as people. So can I encourage you, girls? Let's get about developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Why don't we stand? Why don't we pray? Father, you know the struggles that we have. You understand where we struggle with the fruit of the Spirit. And I pray, Father, that today, from this day forward, Lord, that if we're struggling in one of those areas, that, Lord, you would help us to overcome that struggle, that we would rely on the power of the Spirit in our lives to help us to move forward. Father, help us to nurture your Spirit in our life. Help us to nurture our relationship with you, that your Spirit would have room to grow and develop, and that the fruit of the Spirit would grow in our lives. Girls, if you're struggling in one of these areas, why don't you just make a commitment this morning, or raise your hand to God or whatever. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front, but why don't you just do something that indicates that you want to really work on these areas in your life. And just give it to God. Just allow God to work in your life this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord. You see the response of these wonderful women here this morning. And I ask, Father, that you would help each one of us to just live out of the power of the Spirit and develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Father, whatever fruit that we struggle with, whatever it be, Lord God, that you would help us to grow in those areas. That, Father, we would become people that just seek to follow you, Lord, and that have love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in ever-increasing measure in our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.